few decades ago, when I visited Antarctica, I watched scientists drop huge steel fishing lines through the holes cut in the ice, trying to hook a deep-swimming Antarctic cod, as they were called. And later in the evening, we would all feast on the fish, smoked really, under the midnight sun, and they were delicious. But the point of the ice fishing expedition was not an evening snack. The scientists were draining the blood from the fish, studying how they were able to swim in sub-freezing water without freezing up themselves. And the answer, it was discovered, was that the fish had natural antifreeze in their bodies. Now we know it's not just chilly fish who can stay alive in amazingly cold temperatures. Grasses have it, snow, fleas, worms, beetles. Beetles that can survive down 100 degrees below zero. How does the antifreeze evolve? How does it work? Peter Davies is Canada Research Chair in Protein Engineering at Queen's University in Kingston, Canada. Welcome to Science Friday.
Yes, hello, Ira.
Tell us about some of the animals and plants that have these antifreeze proteins in them.
Well, as you've mentioned, they were initially found in fishes at both ends of the Earth in the Arctic and Antarctic regions. And then in insects, plants, and various microorganisms like algae and bacteria, fungi.
Let's look at the beetles, because that was the beetles were part of a paper published at the National Academy of Sciences this week.
Right.
100 degrees below zero?
Well, now you're working with Fahrenheit or Celsius?
Well, let's go Fahrenheit.
No, I don't think they can go that cold. We know they can
Celsius
go down
then.
to about minus 30, minus 30 Celsius.
And how are they protected from just freezing solid?
Well, they have these antifreeze proteins, and as far as we know, what they do is bind to the surface of any seed ice crystal that might otherwise grow, and they stop it from growing because they've coated the ice with the protein.
Because it's the crystal, the actual physical presence of the crystal that kills off the cells.
Well, yeah, that ice crystal gets too big. It will definitely do serious damage to the organism, whether it be a fish or an insect. It will eventually kill it, yeah.
So the protein coats the ice crystal and sort of locks it up from freezing or becoming larger.
Any larger, that's right. So you still have the ice crystal in the body of the insect, but it's essentially stopped from growing.
Where did you get these proteins from?
Well, in this case, they've come from a beetle. The people who did this paper, they use the fire-colored beetle, and we studied a similar beetle that's called the common yellow mealworm.
Mm-hmm. And would it be possible, then, to prevent, let's say, food damage if you could inject the proteins from, you know, freezer burn or frostbite in people?
Right. Well, certainly in terms of helping store frozen foods, this is actually being realized now. Unilever, which is a big company in Europe who make frozen foods like ice cream, for example, they have for some time now been putting the antifreeze proteins into especially low-fat ice cream. Now, they don't call them antifreeze proteins because the public would, the consumers would be perhaps nervous about the idea of antifreeze being in food. So they actually call them ice structuring proteins.
And where do they come from?
Well, the ones that they've added to ice cream actually come from originally from a fish. They're not extracted anymore from the fish. They're actually made by yeast in fermentation.
Huh. And what about, let's say, if you wanted to preserve body parts for transplantation or to keep other things cold or maybe even to prevent frostbite?
Well, I certainly there's a lot of research going on ways of storing cells, tissues, and organs, either in the frozen state or at very low temperatures without any ice damage. With a view to improving their opportunities for transplants and transfusions. So that's an ongoing area of research. You mentioned frostbite, and I do think that these proteins would be effective in stopping frostbite, but it's highly unlikely that you'd have these proteins ready on those rare occasions when somebody actually gets frostbitten. It might be something you would take with you on a dangerous expedition if you're climbing Everest or you're parachuting into the Arctic to on a rescue mission. It might be something you'd want to take.
But it's not been tested yet, so don't try this at home.
No, don't try this at home. But I do think it would be effective. These insect antifreeze proteins can certainly lower the freezing temperature by at least 5 degrees. So it would be very useful in that case.
Fascinating. Thank you very much, Dr.
You're very welcome.
Peter Davies is the Canada Research Chair in Protein Engineering at Queen's University in Kingston, Canada. We're going to take a break, and joining us is Lester Brown. He's been a guest many times, and he's going to tell us why he says the world may be on the brink of a food shortage. He's been talking about this for many years. We'll find out the latest on why he keeps continuing to say that. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this break.